Let's turn to Titus, Book of Titus, Chapter 1. We'll continue our series on 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus. This will be the third book in the series, Titus Chapter 1, Verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of them, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Now, Father, thank you again for the word of God. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to learn some things here that make a difference in our lives. Lord, if there's any resemblance in our heart to the things that are rebuked here, that they would be that we would see them as they ought to be seen, and Lord, that our hearts would be changed. And Father, we just need you. We need to learn. We need to understand. We need to be able to see what's going on in the world today. So Lord, we need to understand and know the truth. So we ask your help in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this passage of Scripture starts out like a lot of them do, the epistles that God used Paul to write and send out. He says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. And that little statement right there, there's a lot of acknowledging of the truth. I can find a lot of people that will tell you they believe the Bible is God's Word. But to properly acknowledge the truth, it's acknowledged after godliness. The Bible was given to change our lives. The Bible was given to make us, like we read in the epistles to Timothy, to make us wise unto salvation, which is in Jesus Christ. All right? So to teach us that, and not only that, we're to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. So the whole end of this, the whole end of the Word of God, is the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. The truth of God's Word can't be separated from God's character. Godliness is being like God, behaving like God. All right? And it's God's character. And God's Word carries his character. That's why it's called the Holy Bible. That's why we call it that. God's Word's holy. God's Word's pure. And so we need to understand that. But it's the faith of God's elect, the actual faith that God gives us. It's acknowledging that God's Word is true and righteous. You know, that Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple, right? The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, right? The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. That's the attitude of the Word of God. Job said, I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food, more than my necessary meat. There's a right way to look at the Bible. And it's not in the way that so many people do it. My brother was talking about the Constitution earlier. Well, we have a generation now that looks at the Constitution as if somehow it can just be bent to mean anything you want it to mean. Do you know why we got that way? Because we started looking at the Bible to where it could be bent any way you wanted to be bent. That's your interpretation. No, there is no such thing. The Scripture is not of any private interpretation. It says exactly what it means. It's for us to understand what the Bible means. It's for us to put line upon line and precept upon precept to rightly divide the word of truth. It's for us. So he says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So before this world was ever made, God promised eternal life. It's kind of interesting. Adam and Eve were supposed to live forever, right? That they were intended to live forever. But God already planned. And Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He'd already planned and made a plan for sin. And we get kind of wrapped up figuring out what God foreknew and what He didn't know and everything. And you'll get a headache trying to think that way a lot of times. Because we see things, we try to interpret what God does by in the light of what we're able to see, and we can't really do that. It's deeper than that. We can understand a lot, don't get me wrong. But there's some things you sit there and wonder, well, if God knew man was going to sin, why'd He make man? And we got all kind of questions that we have. He made man because He's the Creator. There's a simple answer for you. He made man so He could love him. There's a simple answer for you. And man's failure, a possible failure, however you want to do it, didn't change His love. Think about that. I love this verse because this verse here is the verse that made me realize what was necessary for salvation. This is the verse that made me trust God in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So many people, I've had people say to me many, many times, preacher, I don't know if God will forgive me. Well, yes, He will. If you'll trust Christ as your Savior, He'll forgive you. If you reject Christ as your Savior, He won't forgive you. It's that simple. God cannot lie. Just as surely as He will send people to hell for rejecting Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they will die in their sins and spend eternity in torment and separated from God. Just as surely as that's true, if you put your faith and trust in Christ and call upon Him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no maybes, no ifs, no buts. Shall be. God cannot lie. That's part of godliness, by the way. Being honest, God cannot lie. And He says, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now, you know what that tells me, and I'm just kind of leading into where we're going to end up being going on this. We're kind of going to go through the entire chapter, but that tells me that God manifested His Word through preaching. Everything here that we read was preached first. And did you know that God still manifests His Word through preaching? Amen. You got saved because somebody preached the gospel to you. If you're saved, it might have been mama, it might have been daddy, might have been a neighbor, might have been a Sunday school teacher, might have been a pastor, might have been a missionary, might have been an evangelist, might have been some stranger on the street. Somebody may have given you a gospel tract. I know we like to honor preachers, and we like to look, and this is one of the failures I think we have. We like to look at preachers and missionaries and evangelists and those as if somehow they're some kind of special, quote, cut above. No, that's not really true. It's not true at all. We do that. The devil likes us to do that because that way we can put the preaching off to somebody else. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. You know, you go in the book of Acts, and when they had the persecution come up, it said they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Everybody. Every person here can preach the gospel. Every person here can share the word of God with somebody. Preach is simply to proclaim. To preach is to prophesy, really, because you're taking the word of God and getting it out to people. You're taking the scripture and the word of God and you're putting it out there. And God manifests His word through preaching. Somehow you heard the gospel. Somebody told it to you. You read it. You heard it from somebody. And it's committed unto us according to the commandment of God our Savior. It's God's command. We looked at we talked about the Great Commission. It's a command, isn't it? Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Right? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've told you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So he says to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. Obviously, the Apostle Paul was the one that preached to Titus, and he got saved. He said, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Once again, let me just say this. We've gone through this so many times. Think about this. How many times in the epistles, either at the beginning or at the end, does God tell us and wish us grace and mercy and peace? Once again, this is something that God wants us to have. This is something that God wants us to experience. This is not just this is the Word of God. It's not just, well, Paul, he must really like Timothy because he wanted him to have grace and peace and mercy. He wanted all that. No, it says from what? God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So there it is right there. This is something that we're supposed to have. And if you don't have it, then maybe it's time to ask yourself why you don't have it. And if you maybe it's time to start seeking it. God's grace is sufficient. It's something we're supposed to experience on a daily basis. And not just in the sense of having our sins forgiven, but actually grace, the power of God to change your life. The peace to be able to face whatever comes. To continue serving God, to continue doing the right thing, regardless of what's happening around you. Regardless of what anybody else in your household's doing, regardless of what anybody else in the town's doing, regardless of what anybody else in the country is doing. To live a godly life. And then in verses 5 through 9, he says, "For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordained elders in every city as I had appointed thee." Now the elders that he's talking about there are preachers, pastors, if you will. He's going to ordain people to in these cities that are there, in these cities in Crete. Crete is an island. And he's going to go through the cities there, and he wants to ordain elders. He wants to train up people. And he gives the qualifications for these, and it mirrors what we find elsewhere in the Bible. "If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre." All right? He's supposed to be blameless. In other words, not to be able to make charges against him. You'll get false charges. I'm not talking about false charges. I'm talking about substantiated charges against somebody of their character and behavior. And he has to be blameless. Not self-willed. Not self-willed. The self is what's supposed to go away. What did Brother John say? He must increase, I must decrease. Now, and then he said, not soon angry. Somebody that's mad all the time is a problem. They don't have control over their temper. He said, not given to wine. There's no place for drinking for the Christian. No place for alcohol. There's no need for it. There's no place for it. No striker. In other words, he's not violent. Not given to filthy lucre. He doesn't have a love of money. Doesn't love money. He said, well, wait a minute, preacher. You passed over something. What about the husband and one wife and faithful children? That's exactly what it means, the husband of one wife, not one at a time. This is talking about a pastor. This is talking about somebody who's going to lead a church. They have to, they are desired, that my biggest job as a pastor, and brother, if you get on the field and you at a church, if you've ever led a church, you understand that the biggest influence and the biggest job you have and the biggest hurdle for you and your family is being a good example to the church, because that's what's most important. Not perfection, but keeping the living a life that's governed by the Word of God, governed on biblical principles, and these things that are done. And notice the children are there, having faithful children, not accused of riot, unruly. There are things that my children could do that would disqualify me from being a pastor. Wouldn't mean I couldn't preach, wouldn't mean I couldn't do work, but leading a church is an important thing. It's getting hard to find people like that. Getting hard to find people that live godly lives the way they're supposed to. And a lot of people have gone... I mean, just look among independent Baptists, how many people have failed because of this. Churches have failed because of simple things like this. It's important. It's extremely important to have somebody in a pulpit that has a testimony of being sincere and godly and leading his family scripturally. And that's extremely important. Verse 8 says he's a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. All right, lover of hospitality. He loves people. He loves good men. All right, notice he's a lover of hospitality. That's somebody who's willing to be hospitable, right? But a lover of good men. You know, a lot of these people today, the people that we have today that are idolized, the music industry, the acting industry, the sports industry, all these people, there are some people that they look at these people as if somehow that they're cut above everybody else. They're better in that regard in some way, and they're to be looked up to. But think about who they are. A lot of them are gang members, dope heads, sodomites. They're not good men. Be a lover of good men. You know, what you love impacts your life. Isn't it any wonder in this day and age where sports, and don't get me wrong, I love sports. I like football. I like basketball. I like to play baseball. I like to do all that type of stuff. I love doing that stuff. But these people that are involved in that, that make their living about it, many of them are wicked people. And yet, they're the heroes. And we look at the young people, especially the young men. We look at the young men and we see they're wanting to emulate those people. And not just their athletic prowess or ability or their ability to play dress up and all that and make believe. That's all an actor is. They're just playing dress up and make believe, right? And they get paid good money for it. And people idolize them. And the singers and all these people that do that, you know, they idolize them for that. And what good has it done our culture? Has it helped our churches any? Lover of good men. And I said the pastor is supposed to be an example. So all of these things that we're talking about are simply the earmarks of a Christian life that the pastor is to reflect because he's supposed to lead. So just because it says this is for the pastor doesn't mean it can be ignored by anybody. Because the pastor is supposed to be what? Be thou an example of the believers, he told him. So this is what we're supposed to be looking at as Christian characters, what he's talking about. Sober, that means alert. Just, that's self-explanatory. Holy, Christ-like, desiring to be sanctified, set apart to God. Temperate, self-control, having control of yourself. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand, we're told. And here's why. He says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine to both exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Why do you need people with sound doctrine in a pulpit? Why? Because there's a lot of people that are teaching false doctrine of all different stripes and types that we're going to have to deal with. And there are people that gainsay against the Word. They rebel against the Word of God. And he said that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. Why? For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching filthy things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Now, he had a group of people that were teaching a lot of things that they shouldn't be teaching, but they were teaching them because it made them money. Does it sound familiar to you? You're sitting there and we're looking at a culture now where people are following people with the idea that somehow they get out there and tell people that if they had enough faith that they would be they would have all this material wealth and gain, and that's not true. That only works in the United States of America and in some of the Western cultures where we have that type of thing. There's a lot of people that don't have anything but have more faith the majority of professing Christians in the United States of America. When you're depending upon God for everything. And you know, that's the problem. We think we don't have to depend upon God. Yet everything that we have, God provides, whether you believe it or not. Every good gift, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. So we understand that. But there are those that teach and they preach and they do these things. And they teach false doctrines. Why? For money. They get rich. By the way, if you have, I've said it before, if I can get 1 million people to send me a dollar, I'm a millionaire, aren't I? Huh? If I can get everybody to send $10. I was sitting there watching, got up early in the morning and turned on the television set just because I didn't know what would come on early in the morning. And there was this inspiration camp meeting and they were talking about people make a $1,000 vow. Of course, they didn't. They wanted them to send that $1,000 to them. You know, they weren't saying go give $1,000 to the poor. They wanted that money to come to them. You know, you call us, make a $1,000 vow. Okay. I wonder how many people have done that. And they get up there and talk about how all God's blessed them and all the riches and wealth they had and what all these people did for them and different things like that. All the while, just getting rich. That's why they're preaching. And not only that, he said, one of them, even themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. They were teaching, they had even decided to throw in a little bigotry into their preaching and teaching. You can't trust those Cretans. They're all evil beasts. They're liars. They're slow bellies. You can't trust those folks. Now, why would somebody that was supposedly trying to win people to the Lord, would they sit there and insult a whole group of people? Why would they do that? That just shows us of the devil, doesn't it? And he said, this witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. So why is it necessary to have a good, sound preachers? Because there is a need for good, sound teaching, because there's too many, there's deceivers, there's people that go out and they teach things that are lies. Why does the Word of God need to be preached? Why does it need to be put out? Why do we need to make sure we put the gospel out? Because there are so many false gospels out there, right? Why do people need to hear the truth? Why do we need Bible-believing churches? Why? Because there are deceivers, there are liars, there are people that are out that teach all manner of false things. He says, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Not giving heed to Jewish fables. The Jews taught a lot of different things about the Gentiles, didn't they? Remember how they taught about the Gentiles? The Gentiles are dogs. Right? Remember how they thought about the Gentiles? Now, was that righteous or wicked? It was wicked. And here we have a church doing the same thing with a group of people. Giving heed to Jewish fables, commandments of men that turn from the truth. Remember what Jesus said about them rejecting the commandment of God for the doctrines of men. Once again, I want you to notice something here when he talks about doctrines. You know, it's the doctrines of devils, the doctrines of men, and the doctrine of God. God only has one doctrine. And it's the Bible. And we're to conform to it, not the other way around. But he said, In verse 15, he says, "Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them which that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being an abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." Now, let me just say something here. Some people have taken that passage where it says, "Unto the pure all things are pure." That means if your heart's right, you can just do any old thing you want to do. That's a lie. That's a lie. Because we started off this chapter with saying the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. So the simple truth here he's talking about, and the simple thing he's telling us about, is if your heart is right, then your works will be right and acceptable before God. He says, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Now, the scripture says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." All right? We're commanded to turn away from dead works. Do you know what dead works are? Dead works are done, or works that are done with the purpose of justifying yourself before God, thinking that your works are what justify you. I talked about works earlier. Works, you know, it's not just work salvation, but this idea and attitude that somehow your good works are going to justify you before God. They can't. They never could. And we have to be careful of living a life of self-righteousness. The only thing that makes me fit in the sight of God is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. But having said that, if by faith of Christ and reliance on His shed blood as my justification, I seek to obey God and to walk in the way I'm supposed to walk and to live. The Bible, what does it say in Ephesians? "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Then it goes on and says what? "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So the whole point is, I'm not up here preaching to do anything but to show my love and my honor for my God. That's why. It does me no good. It has nothing to do with my salvation. It's just my life is to be an expression of love. Doesn't the Bible say love is the fulfilling of the law? Love toward man, love toward God. That's where those works come from. That's the picture that we have. But so to the pure all things are pure. But to them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. That means all the religious works and all the religion and everything that's been done in order to justify people, to justify themselves before God, is worth nothing. All those righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And says they profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being an abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. And now we have a picture of people who are very religious, who go out and do religious things, and yet it says to every good work they're reprobate. I mean, look at the culture that we live in. Think about this very carefully. Look at the culture we live in. We live in a culture where the same person that is talking about going out, getting drunk, smoking dope or whatever you want to do, committing adultery, committing fornication, stealing, killing, all these things, the same people that go out and sing all these songs, what do? They come out and a lot of them put out gospel albums. So one day they're singing about going out and getting drunk, and the other day they're talking about the blood of the Lamb. And they don't see any problem with that. They profess they know God, but in works, they deny Him. And that's the bottom line that we need to get down to. Do we deny God by our works? Works don't save you. But works are necessary. Works are necessary for obedience, aren't they? Works are necessary to show love. I mean, I could tell Sister Denise, I love you, honey, every day. But if I treat her like dirt, what's she going to think? She's going to think I'm a liar. Right? I love you, Lord. Go tell that person about Jesus. I can't do that. Give. Can't do that. But I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Stop doing that. But I like it. Don't get me wrong, it's possible for Christians to backslide. But the biggest thing you need to do is make sure you're saved. And if you're saved, there's a right way to live as a Christian. Just that simple. By the way, it's a better way. It's better than anything. I spent 23 years living the way the world wanted me to live. I would not go back to it for anything. There's a better way to live. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out today. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and I just pray that you'd use it in our hearts, Lord. Help us to see where we may fall short. And Lord, help us to trust in you and realize that we can indeed change, that we can have victory over sin, that we can become what we ought to be. Lord, we're just so thankful you don't give up on us, that you continue the work that you began and will continue until the day of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for that. Lord, we just pray you'd help us to live the way we're supposed to live, to be what we're supposed to be, to manifest your word through preaching, to be a good example to all around us, a witness not just in the things we say, but by the life we live. Lord, I pray you'd help each of us to understand the truth. Now, Father, if there's one that's today that's lost, that doesn't know for sure if they died today, they'd go to heaven. I just pray they'd see themselves as they truly are. They'd see themselves as a sinner. And they'd see Jesus Christ as their only hope of salvation. Now, Father, I pray that you'd work in every heart. And, Lord, if somebody needs to be saved, that they'd be saved today. And, Father, for those that have trusted Christ as their Savior, I just pray that you would help them, to help each one of us to just trust you and trust in the Lord and do good. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.